Wake up, America. It's Morning Air with John Morales.
Si, senor.
Sarah Tafoya.
Hey, it's my mom.
Hey, mommy.
And Glenn Leverins.
This is Morning Air. That's
how I know. On Relevant Radio and the Relevant Radio app.
Wake up, America. It's Tuesday, May 2nd. Good morning and welcome to another edition of Morning Air on the memorial of St. Athanasius, Bishop and Doctor of the Church. I'm John Morales, along with Glenn Leverins and studio producer Sarah Tafoya. Thanks so much for joining us here on Relevant Radio and the Relevant Radio app. So good to be with you on this Tuesday in the fourth week of Easter as we continue to celebrate the resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ during this Easter season. I want to remind you to join Father Rocky, Drew Mariani, and Patrick Madrid, and many Relevant Radio listeners from all over our country in a pilgrimage walk to the National Shrine of Our Lady of Champion, formerly Our Lady of Good Help, on this coming Saturday, May 6th. This growing 10th annual 21-mile pilgrimage starts at the National Shrine of St. Joseph in De Pere, Wisconsin, and finishes at the only approved Marian apparition site in the U.S., Our Lady of Champion in Champion, Wisconsin. You can walk part of the way or all the way. The Walk to Mary is coming up Saturday, May 6th. For information and registration, go to walktomary.com. That's walktomary.com. I want to bring in our Morning Air team, Glenn and Sarah. Glenn, what are a few of the big stories making headlines here on this Tuesday morning?
Well, I'd have nothing to say if I had Hollywood writers writing what I say. But Hollywood writers are on strike as of today, and this will affect first some of the live shows, the late-night TV talk shows. And you think, well, couldn't they just write their own jokes? The hosts, you know, they contribute to that process, but many other unions might honor that picket line, and thus things may be slowed down or even shut down for some of the late-night talk shows first. But Hollywood writers looking to be compensated better in the era of streaming video and different ways to get out there, to get the shows out there that they're not compensated for the same way they would be for something that's on standard television or film.
Is this a strike that is expected to last a long time, or do you think that they'll be able to come to an agreement soon? Because there's a lot of late-night shows, a lot of folks who like to watch their programs before bedtime, and that's on the line with this strike going on.
You know, early morning radio announcers might not miss that because, you know, we're not generally up late enough to see some of those shows I've only heard about. But I think there's so much money involved that might speed the process a bit.
Meanwhile, there's a horrific story out of Illinois, a massive dust storm on I-55 yesterday, about 75 miles north of St. Louis. It caused a huge pileup involving about 80 vehicles. There were at least six people who died as a result of all these accidents, and more than 30 people injured. Glenn, what else do we know?
Well, you normally think about this in terms of a blizzard or even fog, but dust, several cars engulfed in flames, and again, six dead, over 30 injured, 40 to 60 vehicles involved in those crashes. Officials say it occurred when heavy winds blew dirt from farm fields across the highway near Springfield, and tragic situation.
If anybody has ever been involved in whiteout conditions with snow, they know how scary that can be. I know firsthand, coming home from the March for Life once in Pennsylvania, we couldn't see more than 10 feet in front of us. It was so scary. But I can't even begin to imagine what it would be like with a dust literally, acting for all practical purposes like snow.
Well, you know, it's interesting. My son was just learning about the Dust Bowl in the 1930s, and just thinking about that, comparing it. Well, this was bad, and lots of bad things happened just yesterday with that. But that was only for a couple of hours. So I just imagine year after year of that happening where you live. I can imagine why many people were kind of trying to leave the area during that time period in the lower region of the United States when that was happening. Just kind of a scary situation to think, no matter how hard you, as a mother, and no matter how hard you clean, it's still dusty. I can't imagine that would be very annoying.
Oh, I know a few times through the years when we've lived, you know, a few blocks from the edge of town in whatever town in the farm fields certain times of year, and those window sills would pick up the dirt, definitely let you know whether you're cleaning or not. But yeah, really prayers for so many affected there. Hey, gentlemen, you mentioned that a snowstorm in Pennsylvania on the way back from the March for Life. Was that the year that the kids had mass out in the snowbank?
No, that was actually, I believe that was a different year, but it was still extremely scary. I mean, we drove for about 5 miles with virtually no visibility. I had to roll down the window. My wife was literally telling me, stay to the right, go to the left, stay to the right. We're following the guardrail, and we were able to safely get off. But it is really scary when you can't see more than 10 feet in front of you. And I'm sure this was the same kind of a situation with this massive dust storm in Illinois. And it hits close to home right here in the Midwest.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
Meanwhile, I understand that this month of May, of course, is the month of the Blessed Mother, but it's also National Barbecue Month.
Bring it on. I love that. I grew up with my dad barbecuing so much in the backyard. Sundays, after a hard-working week and doing the chores on Saturday, he would relax on Sunday in the summer, have the rotisserie going with barbecue chicken on there, and he'd be out there rocking the shorts and sandals with black socks, and the polka music would be cranking, and you wonder how I turned out to be so cool. Well, that was part of it. But I did learn how to grill pretty well, I think, on a charcoal grill. No gas for me, thank you. And so I'm happy to celebrate year-round, but especially in the month of May.
Oh, man, Glenn, that was quite a vivid picture you just painted. And it really does help put some pieces together as the person you are today. So thank you for that and for all the listeners. You know, grilling has always been a thing. My husband, he likes to think he's the grill master, so that's his big thing. But there was a time when he wasn't coming home early enough, and so we had to get dinner started. So I tried to attempt to do some kind of a grill outside in our little wood pile fire pit, and you know, let's just say things were a little flame broiled. So maybe it's not my calling.
Well, you talk about flame broiled. How about a charcoal flame broiled juicy cheeseburger with the cheese just melting off the sides? Glenn, you got me feeling hungry here this morning.
Yeah, that sounds good. That sounds good. You guys got a preference, gas or charcoal at all for cooking in the backyard?
Charcoal is good, you know, gas is good too, but, you know, I'm pretty in the middle on that one.
You know, I think charcoal does give that little extra flavor that we do like. I don't know if our lungs like it or our body arteries may or may not like it, but I think it does have that great, you know, feels like it's summer. You know, there's that old commercial, it's not summer, so you had the certain ballpark hot dog or something, but it does have a little bit, feel like it smells like summer when you're walking around and through the neighborhoods and you're smelling that for sure. But gas is definitely cleaner, so nice on the cleanup end. So there's a pros and cons to both, that's for sure.
There you go. So we can continue to enjoy National Barbecue Month the whole month of May. As always, thanks so much, Sarah and Glenn.
Hey, sure thing, John.
We always begin every program, every morning in prayer, giving thanks to our Lord for all the many blessings, always through the intercession of our Blessed Mother Mary, the Mother of God. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. Our Lady of Guadalupe, patroness of the Americas, patroness of the unborn and of Relevant Radio, pray for us. St. Joseph, patron of the Universal Church, pray for us. St. John Paul II, co-patron of Relevant Radio, pray for us. And we always invoke the Holy Spirit here every morning when we pray, come, Holy Spirit, come. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. On Tuesdays, always take just a brief moment to remind you about praying to your guardian angel. Even though you can't see your guardian angel, these heavenly companions are absolutely present with you. We should ask our guardian angel for help in our everyday lives. Of course, you can find us on Twitter and Facebook at Morning Air Show, and you can always send us an email directly, morningair@relevantradio.com. Now, yesterday, the month of May began. It is the month of Mary here in the Catholic Church. Why is it important that we honor Our Lady during this month of May? Our next guest will share with us five reasons why we should honor our Blessed Mother during this month. If you have a special devotion to Our Lady or you have any special memories honoring Mary growing up, we'd love to hear from you. You can give us a call, 888-914-9149. That's 888-914-9149. Now joined live by Morning Air contributor Marge Fenelon with much more on honoring Mary in her month. Marge is an award-winning author, internationally known speaker, and a Catholic media personality, and a life coach. She's also the author of several books, including Our Lady, Undoer of Knots, A Living Novena, and My Queen, My Mother, A Living Novena. Good morning, Marge. We can continue to say Happy Easter. Thanks so much for joining us. It is great to be with you once again.
That's right. Happy Easter. I love that. I love that we get to string that along for so many days. I am so excited, John, to talk about our Blessed Mother. I always am. But this is her month, a whole month dedicated to the Blessed Mother. And I think that is not to be missed. Talk about main attractions and grilling in the backyard and things that make us happy. We should be totally overwhelmed with joy at this opportunity to honor her for what is it, 31 days, May 1st through the 31st.
It's always a joy to talk about our Blessed Mother. And, you know, and just the fact that we call her the Blessed Mother, which brings up her motherhood. Can you share with us why her motherhood is her most important role? She is the Mother of God, and she's also our spiritual mother.
Well, exactly. When we think about how Jesus loved his mother, and he proved that throughout the scriptures, and even now he proves that he loves her deeply. Well, if we love Jesus and we want to follow in his footsteps, then doesn't it make sense that we would also love his mother because he did? Just for that reason alone, she's his mother. She, if it weren't for her, the God-man could not have been born. I mean, it's phenomenal when you think about the important role that this woman played in not only the life of the church, but salvation. So she's his mother. For his sake, we should love her deeply.
When we consider how much Jesus loved his mother, it always brings up the question, is it possible to love Mary too much?
No, not at all. And I believe that it was St. Maximilian Kolbe who said, you can never love Mary too much. I may have the wrong saint, but it's definitely the right message. It's impossible to love her too much. Could Jesus love her too much? Absolutely not. And we want to be like Jesus. So by loving the Blessed Mother, and I've heard this before, and I've actually had people come up to me after I do speaking engagements and say, well, how, you know, if I'm always afraid of loving the Blessed Mother and offending Jesus. Well, how in the world could we offend him by loving someone that he loves so much? So we can't love her too much. In fact, I would dare say, John, that we can't love her enough.
Well, I know that here in this month of May, there are parishes all across the country that set up May altars. Can you explain a little bit about that tradition?
Sure. This idea of honoring the Blessed Mother through May goes back to the medieval times. I mean, it's really a long-standing tradition in the church. This idea of a May altar is definitely not Mary worship. And I think of all the times that I was confronted. People love to pick on me about my devotion to Mary, but all of the times I was confronted saying, you know, you worship Mary. No, not at all. We have a May altar in our home. Many parishes have May altars throughout the month of May. Basically, what this is, it's a place of honor for the Blessed Mother. So it can be anything. It could be simply that her statue is there and you put flowers around her statue. The nicest thing I remember from my childhood is there was actually a special table a little bit off to the side of the front of the church, and her statue would be there, and the flowers and some candles, and it would be a way to remind us to give her honor in a very special way throughout May. So that's a May altar. It's not like an altar of sacrifice. It's an altar in terms of a place of honor. And I've adopted that, and I know a lot of people who have done this same thing, where they'll actually put a May altar, some kind of a May altar in their home, a special place with an image of the Blessed Mother or a statue, and it's devoted specifically to her, to give her honor for who she is and what she's done for us.
Well, Marge, as you're describing that, I was reminiscing. The anniversary of our wedding is coming up on the 14th of this month, and I wanted to get married on the Feast of Our Lady of Fatima, but there were no weddings on a Friday at our church at St. Mary of the Angels that year. But I do remember the statue of Our Lady of Fatima, a just beautiful statue on a stand just to the right of the altar, and it was there with lots of flowers and crowned, and something I'll never forget that was part of our wedding day. So this tradition of setting up a little altar and also of crowning our Blessed Mother is all part of what we as Catholics do here in this month of May.
Yes, and I remember at the parish I grew up in, we had literally a huge event. It was May crowning, and then one of the grade school girls would be chosen to actually crown the Blessed Mother. She is queen. Christ is king. She's the queen mother. She is queen. She deserves that crown. And so what better time than in May to give her a crown? And it could be a real crown. It could be a crown of flowers that you put, if you don't have a statue, you know, if you can't put it on a statue. In parishes, I know they do this. They put the crown of flowers around her head on the statue. Or if you're in your home, you could simply get a wreath of flowers and let that represent a crown. And basically you're declaring her queen of fill in the blank, your heart, your family, whatever it is, she can be reign as queen because she is Christ's mother and she is the queen mother. She's our queen in a very real way. And so that idea of crowning her, and you know, it doesn't even have to be a physical crown. Just crown her in your heart. Give her your heart as a crown. Can you imagine what more awesome way to give her honor than to say, you know, Mother, I give you my heart as a crown to honor you. Not only through May, of course, we would want to do that lifelong.
Well, there's no doubt that we as Catholics honor our Blessed Mother. Like you said, she's the Queen Mother, but she's the Queen Mother because she is the mother of the King of Kings, our Lord Jesus Christ. She always points us to her Son. I know that you've thought about this extensively. You've even written a recent article about it. You have five reasons that we should honor our Blessed Mother here in this month. If you could share some of those with us.
Oh, absolutely. A couple of them we've talked about, but I can run through them very quickly, and you can count them, obviously, on one hand. She's Jesus's mother, and we talked about that. She's Jesus's mother, and therefore we honor her as his mother. He's our Savior, so his mother, who gave birth to him, deserves honor. She's the first. The second one is that she's the first and most perfect disciple. Mary heard it first, guys. You know, talk about a news scoop. She was the first to hear the good news, and she was also the first to follow Christ. He was yet in her womb. She was already following him as his disciple. So from then on, her entire life was devoted to him. And third is, she's your mom. She's my mom, John. She's the mom of every single one of our listeners, all of us, because we are all members of the body of Christ, and she's mother of the head of the body, who is Christ, and you can't separate the head from the body, excuse me. So therefore, she's our mother in a completely real way, completely. And she loves us, and that's the fourth one. She loves us more than we can ever imagine. How in the world could she have endured Jesus' passion and crucifixion were it not for love of us? She didn't try to stop it. We don't have that in scriptures. She didn't try to stop it. She didn't complain. She walked along with our Lord, suffering in her heart, along with his physical, and also his heart was suffering for us. More than you can ever imagine. She has given up more for us than any human mother ever could, ever. And then finally, she's not just mother, but, and you can find this in the catechism, she's advocate, helper, benefactrix, and mediatrix. That's a big title. There is a lot of roles packed into that.
Bottom line, she intercedes for us. She loves us so much that she's constantly praying for us. We are her children. She was given to us at the foot of the cross by our Lord Jesus to the beloved disciple, St. John. And for 2,000 years, that's been her mission. In fact, she loves us so much that she's come to earth throughout the centuries. And in recent years, all we have to do is look at Fatima and Lourdes and Guadalupe and all of these beautiful apparitions where she always brings the same message of returning to God, repenting and following her son.
Yeah, exactly. And in Champion. She appeared in Champion, Wisconsin.
How could I forget Champion?
I wouldn't let you, John.
Of course. We cannot forget Champion. And obviously, it's a reminder that wonderful walk to Mary, united in step from shrine to shrine, coming up this coming Saturday, May 6th. So it'll be a beautiful thing. And Father Rocky will be there, and Drew Mariani, Patrick Madrid, and a cast of thousands, tens of thousands possibly, of Relevant Radio listeners from all over the country who love our Blessed Mother and want to find a way to honor her in that pilgrimage.
Yes. And it is part of May because this is the Blessed Mother's month. I just think that is this the walk to Mary. And I recently found out that there are other places in the country that do the walk to Mary in May because she's our mother, she's our queen, and we give this entire month to her because one day isn't enough. It's just not enough. We need to give her an entire month and through that our entire lives.
And one last thing, I don't want to forget the importance of praying the rosary, especially here in this month of May, the month of our Blessed Mother, something that we do here as a network every single night with the Relevant Radio family, or the Family Rosary Across America with Father Rocky. But it doesn't have to be with Father Rocky. You can do it on your own as well.
Absolutely. And she asked for that. So it's not like somebody just made this up and put together these pretty looking beads. She asked for that. And anything she asks for, you know, is according to God's will, because she can't ask anything other than God's will.
Well, if you want to read Marge's article, it's called Five Reasons to Honor Mary this month. And all you have to do is go to margefenelon.com. And it's a terrific story that Marge wrote. Marge, as always, really appreciate your love of the Blessed Mother and your passion for our faith. Thanks so much for being with us.
Oh, always happy to be here. Thank you.
Thanks again. Marge Fenelon, award-winning author, internationally known speaker, and a popular Catholic media personality, and a life coach. We need to take a short break when we come back. Catholic YouTuber Heather Johnson, a wife and a mother to five beautiful children, will join us to talk about women living your vocation as wife, mom, and homemaker joyfully. So stay with us. There is more to come on this Tuesday edition of Morning Air here on Relevant Radio and the Relevant Radio app.
Anytime at all.
And welcome back to Morning Air. I'm John Morales, along with Glenn and producer Sarah. Thanks so much for joining us on this Tuesday morning, the memorial of St. Athanasius, Bishop and Doctor of the Church, here on Relevant Radio and the Relevant Radio app. As we do every morning, our power scripture from the Playbook of Life is from Acts 11:26. It was in Antioch that the disciples were called Christians for the first time. How often do you think about what it actually means to be a Catholic Christian in this day and age? After all, we believe that the Catholic faith is the fullness of Christianity. If we are to be a Christian, then we must live for our Lord Jesus Christ and believe in Him who is the way, the truth, and the life. If we believe in Christ, then we must also follow and obey Christ. We must focus our life in prayer and on the Holy Eucharist. We must be filled with the Holy Spirit so that we can say, Jesus is Lord. And we always pray with great confidence that prayer from the Chapel of Divine Mercy, Jesus, I trust in you. Our number, if you want to be part of the program, 888-914-9149. That's 888-914-9149. Nowadays, there's a lot of misguided information of what it means to be a woman, what marriage actually is, and what the vocation of motherhood should actually look like. Marriage is not easy. There's no question about it. I can tell you from a husband's perspective, and motherhood requires sacrifice. How can women live their vocation joyfully? Well, joining us live this morning is Catholic YouTuber Heather Johnson for much more on motherhood and joy. Heather is a wife and a mother to five beautiful children, ages 2 to 11. She enjoys inspiring other moms about homemaking, lifestyle, and growing closer to Jesus. Good morning, Heather. Thanks so much for joining us on Morning Air for the first time. It is a joy to be with you. Welcome.
Thank you. It's so great to be here. Thanks for having me, John.
Well, Heather, I know that this is your forte. This is something that you talk about and you share with so many people. Can you tell us, why do you think that women are finding themselves struggling with their vocation to marriage and motherhood?
I honestly think that the world is telling us that is how we should be feeling. I think that our vocation is so beautiful and so holy, and it can be so beautiful and so holy. And I think that Satan is really trying to attack marriages right now and trying to get women to think that we need more, or, you know, that we should be different, when in fact, I think that we are exactly where we're supposed to be in our marriage, even in the struggle. I think the world tells us that we shouldn't be struggling, you know, that it should be easy. It should be all about us instead of about God being the center of our vocation and our husband, and kind of dying to ourselves. We live in a culture where we don't die to ourselves anymore. It's all about me, me, me. And so when you live a life like that and a marriage like that, it is very hard, because that is, you're never going to be happy when you live your life for yourself and not for God and others.
There is no question that marriage is under attack, and of course, women are under attack. In fact, the evil one is continuously spewing all kinds of lies, especially, you know, on social media and you know, just about everywhere you look, these lies are out there. Can you share with us some of the lies that the world and social media are actually saying to women?
Yeah. I mean, I think that they're trying to tell us that we're not enough, almost, like that we should be doing more, right? Like, if we're a homemaker and we are with our children, that it's just not enough. Like, you need to be contributing more, you know, and which is a complete lie. Like, when we are in the home, that is exactly where we're supposed to be. You know, if that is what God is calling us to, is being a mother and a homemaker, then that is what is truly beautiful. And I think, like, when you look at what the world is telling you, is that when you go out in the world and you're trying to, you know, make more money and have, you know, more acknowledgement, then you're never going to be satisfied. Like, there's going to be this hole within us that is just never going to be full. Because when we live our vocation for God, that's when we have a full heart. You know, our soul is going to be more complete, right, when we do God's will. And I just feel like Satan is totally trying to disrupt that and tell us that we're not enough. When you're just, you know, at home, you know, a lot of people try to think of homemaking and, you know, being a stay-at-home mom. It's like you're just sitting around watching, you know, soap operas and eating chocolates all day. When it is hard, when you are really invested in your family and your home, it's really hard. And I just feel like, you know, the world is doing such a disservice. I think Satan is really pushing this narrative that we need to be out of our home. He wants us out of our home, and he wants us out in the world instead of where we're supposed to be, which is me helping, like, women are the heart of the home, right? That's how I feel, that we are the heart of the home, and he wants the heart out of the home. And so, yeah, I just feel like that is the biggest thing, that we are not enough. The world is trying to tell us we're not enough if we're with our family and our home, when that is the complete opposite. That is exactly how God designed it to be, if that's our calling.
From an authentic Catholic perspective, what do you see the vocation of marriage, and what is it not?
I think the vocation of marriage is, you know, a beautiful, beautiful union of a man and a woman. And I think that it is to sharpen us. I think every vocation, you know, whether you're marriage or whether, you know, you're in a religious like that, it's supposed to sharpen you. It's supposed to be a little bit challenging, because that is where growth comes in. And when you have a man and a woman, they're going to be not the same person. They're going to have different thoughts, different feelings, everything. And so when you bring them together, there's going to be a little bit of friction there. But hopefully that friction is good, and it's a growing thing, and it will bring you closer to God in the long run, you know, like, or the short run. But it is ultimately supposed to, your spouse, you're supposed to help your spouse get to heaven, and the
Bingo.
Same with your spouse. Yeah,
you hit it right, like, on the nose. That is the one cool. The one thing that I will never forget from marriage prep. We're coming up on 18 years in a couple of weeks of marriage, my wife and I, and that's the one thing I'll never forget. My job is to get her to heaven. Her job is to get me to heaven. And, you know, sometimes it's as simple as that.
Yes, yes. And, yeah, and the world tells you, like, no. It's, you know, the Hollywood movie is like, no, you're supposed to feel lovey-dovey all the time. And, you know, it's all about the feelings. And it's like, no. Like, there are times you have to choose love. You know, like, there's times that I'm sure my husband was like, oh, my goodness. Okay. You know, like, it is hard, and it's supposed to be hard, because that's how we grow. Like, God, that's how God designed it. He wants us to become better people. And through our vocation, that is the perfect way to do it, is, you know, we all have different, you know, harder marriages or easier marriages, but ultimately our marriage is supposed to draw us closer to God and help each other, form each other, and get each other to heaven. Yeah, like you said.
Where does this idea that it's supposed to be easy come from? Because it's not easy, and we all have our own little crosses to bear. Our Lord, of course, had the big cross, but what do you think the cross teaches us about marriage?
I mean, I think the cross teaches us that it's okay that it's hard, you know, and I think that, you know, Jesus is the ultimate example of, like, it is sacrificial. Marriage is sacrificial, and the world is trying to tell us that it's not, that we should, you know, that our spouse should bow to everything we say, and then we'll have a happy marriage, and that's just not the case. That's not how God created it. He created it so that we would really have a little bit of suffering, you know, like that. It is sacrificial. God's love is sacrificial. On the cross, he died. That was a sacrifice out of love. And that is how we are to love too. And so, yeah, I truly believe that through the cross, through dying to ourselves, that's how we'll have a good, holy marriage.
Well, here in the month of May, we honor the Blessed Mother. She's our mother. Can you talk about the vocation of motherhood and how that also has changed over the years? You know, it's not the same as it was in the days of Leave It to Beaver.
Yes. I mean, I think of Mary as the ultimate example, talking about the month of Mary. I think she's the ultimate example of what a mother should be, you know, always constantly saying yes to God and you know, being there for your children, for your spouse. I think that that is such an important role. I had that in my mother. My mother was a stay-at-home mom, and there was just something so comforting knowing that my mom was always there. You know, if I went to school and I had a headache, she would come get me. There was just like this great thing inside of me, knowing a comfort knowing that my mom was there for me anytime that I needed that. And we have that in Mother Mary as well. And I hope to be that for my children, you know, to be that, you know, that love that hopefully reflects Christ and God to them.
Well, with our Blessed Mother as the role model, you cannot go wrong. I want to invite our listeners, if you have any thoughts on Catholic motherhood, authentic Catholic motherhood, and being a homemaker with joy in your heart, we're taking your calls for a Catholic YouTuber and mom, Heather Johnson, at 888-914-9149. That's 888-914-9149. We're going to take a short break as we continue our conversation with Heather. Stay with us. There is more to come on the other side here on Relevant Radio and the Relevant Radio app.
This is Morning Air, your home for faith, fun, and news in the morning.
Mama said there'll be days like this, there'll be days like this, Mama said.
Mama said.
Triple 888-914-9149. 888-914-9149 is the number if you want to be part of the conversation here this morning. As we're talking with Catholic YouTuber Heather Johnson, discussing women and living your vocation as a wife, mom, and homemaker, and doing it joyfully. You know, when I think of joyfully, I almost can think of Pope St. John Paul II, who used to talk about living life joyfully. And it reminds me of the importance of having joy in our life, especially here during this Easter season, which is supposed to be the season of joy. Heather, welcome back.
Thank you. Good to be here.
I want to bring in our own resident mom here, Sarah, our producer in studio, who is also a mom. Any thoughts on motherhood and being a wife and how challenging it is these days?
Well, John, you know, you mentioned Leave It to Beaver, you know, how it used to be. I don't think even when Leave It to Beaver actually aired, was it ever actually like that? Because isn't, you know, we watch that and it looks, you know, it's kind of like the ideal, right, as all sitcoms are. And it's not really like that, even in real life, probably even then. I think that's just what we think about, right? The ideal.
Nobody cleans the house wearing high heels.
I've never seen that, no. I don't know about you, Heather, but usually that's not, it's whatever I happen to be wearing at the time.
Or pearls.
Yeah. Well, I mean, it's nice to be fancy, definitely, but that's not everybody's cup of tea. But, I mean, living joyfully is the real challenge, is the real trick, isn't it? Because regardless, you know, of what you're doing, it's hard to kind of always, it seems like joyfully sometimes you think of is always being in a good mood, and you're never always going to be in a good mood, but to have the right perspective, to have the right mindset going into what you're doing, why you're doing it, that you're not just doing it because it needs to get done, but because you're doing it for those you love, you're doing it for the love of God. When you have a good perspective, a good mindset on whatever it is that you happen to be doing, it just makes things go well. And I think I know that you've talked about this, Heather, in different podcasts and that you do, that when you set aside time for prayer and you have images around your home that kind of remind you of yeah. Mary and kind of can get you back into that place of, okay, this is, you know, why I'm doing this. This is, you know, the root cause of it. And actually, I was joking with my husband the other day. I stopped at a thrift shop and I found this little statue of Mary and I put it inside the car just because I didn't know where to put it at the time. So I just, you know, put it on the dashboard of the car. And I told them, I said, aren't you acting nicer in the car all of a sudden? And it's just because Mary's staring at you, right? Like you're reminded, okay, I'm not, you know, whatever you can be upset with kids or what's happening in the car. And then you're reminded, Mary's right there. Okay, now let's get back to, let's get back to the basics and have that right perspective.
Yes, definitely. Yeah, I love having images of Mary and saints too because of their yes, you know, like them. It reminds me constantly to say yes to God, even in those little things, right? Like St. Therese would say, like, in the little ways, the small ways, like saying yes to God, you know, like you said, joyfully, and not being having a grudge about it and stuff, you know. And I think for me, also, like, just having a grateful heart, a gratitude, you know, is so important to thanking God, you know, instead of, like, the kids yelling all the time and, you know, all the things you have to pick up constantly. Thank you, God, that we have this beautiful home, and thank you for the health of my children. Thank you so much. You know, I think that instantly it turns it around for me, and I become more joyful instantly when I think of all the blessings that God has given to me as well.
Oh, yeah. You know, I'm just, you're just the examples you just listed. Yeah. Oh, why do I have to pick these toys up again? How come they're, you know, you just eat so easily. Can't we get into that? And I know you, you also talked about in one of your podcasts about, you know, surrendering what we think is supposed to be, or the way we want it to be, or the way we've dreamed it to be. And then in that moment, sometimes just over our long-term dreams of our kids and our life, just saying, oh, God, I'm giving it to you because you have a better plan. And that changes everything. It's that mind shift change that we need to do, like, constantly, every moment. Sometimes it feels like I'm having to do that because it's so easy to go right to the, oh, I'm so frustrated, I don't like this, I'm so upset. But to give that over to God and say, okay, you take this, help
me. Yeah. And even in the loneliness, I feel like that's not talked about very much, but, you know, being a homemaker and your spouse is gone most of the day for most people, and it can feel lonely and isolating, even with the little kids. And, like, and that too, you can be like, you know what, God, like, I know you did this, you know, the agony in the garden, like, you were alone, like, you know, like, every step of motherhood, like, we can give it back to God and relate to God, I feel like. And I feel like when we do that, like, there's just so much more joy there because we're not alone. God is with us every step of the way. And I think that that's really important too, to acknowledge that, like, you know, like, there are different dimensions, you know, like, I remember my son was little, and I didn't have many friends at the time. And I just felt like so alone and isolated. And there was such a comfort knowing that God was with me in those times of feeling loneliness. And now with five kids, I don't feel that much, but I just look back at those days and I'm like, wow, like, God, you were there even then. And even now when it's, you know, I just feel overwhelmed most of the time, you're even there with me now, you know, like, every step of the way of motherhood and even marriage, like, God is there with us, and he can relate to so much of what we're going through. And Mother Mary, between the two of them, like, there's so much that they can both kind of, you know, relate to.
Heather, why do you think that the title of being a homemaker or even a stay-at-home mom sometimes is seen as less in the eyes of so many people in our culture in this day and age?
Well, I think our culture is really driven by money, to be honest. I feel like if you're not contributing financially, like, the world looks at you as, you know, less than. Instead of looking at the spiritual side of what we're doing, which is we're raising little souls and hopefully forming them in the way of God that will go out and make this world an even better place. And so I think that a lot of things are driven by money. You know, like, if you have a powerful job and you're making lots of money, like, people tend to, like, be like, oh, wow, like, they're really something. You know, but if you're a stay-at-home mom, a lot of people, like, oh, that's all you do, you know, and, like, there's not much to it, they think, but it's just, it's constant. It is the hardest. I've done a lot of different jobs in my life. It is by far the hardest, having five kids, being a homemaker. I don't remember the last time I got to just sit down and read a book. Like, that would be amazing, but that's not my life right now, and that's okay. This is the season I'm in. But I think, yeah, the world is very, looks at the external instead of the internal, of building our spiritual foundation within our home.
Well, with five children, you have some really good experience with you on how to raise the children, how to raise those little souls, as you call them. Can you give our listeners some practical advice, especially the women, the moms out there listening, when it comes to living their vocation as homemakers, as mothers and wives, and doing it joyfully?
Yeah, I think do the rosary while I'm doing the dishes. And I, you know, and then I clean after that, and while I'm cleaning, I can be praying. I can constantly be thinking about God and, you know, praying that my children are having a good day and that they're
Heather, I gotta jump in. You are multi-talented to be able to pray the rosary while you're doing the dishes.
Well, I have on my YouTube channel, I have the rosary, so you can see the picture and, you know, like, you know what mystery you're on. And because there are times my little Maria will come and, you know, want to help me and stuff. So,
John, it sounds like with Heather that she does actually do her household chores with beads, just not the pearls, just a different type of beads, right?
Yeah. And usually at night we'll pray the family rosary where I can, like, well, I'd like to say it's very peaceful and wonderful, but we have a little 2-year-old that, you know, it is hard, but we do it. And every step of our life, we can be praying, like, whatever we do can be made into a prayer, like, really. And that can be such a beautiful gift to God, you know, like, even if our spouse isn't appreciative of what we do or our family, we can always do it for God and for offering it up to Him joyfully. And I think that is really important to know, because, you know, when we try to get satisfaction from our spouse or our children, sometimes it's not there. Our motivation needs to be beyond that. It needs to be for God, you know, like, God, I'm doing this for you. I do it joyfully. And I hope that you take this gift and you are pleased with it. And so,
Heather, I started to say, how satisfying is it for you to share your faith, to share your joy as a mother and a wife and a homemaker with so many folks through your YouTube channel and through, you know, the outreach that you have on social media?
Yeah, I love it. It is a passion of mine. And, you know, it's so interesting because I thought that I didn't feel like I had much to give, you know, and then when God asked me to do this, it was something that I was, you know, shocked that He wanted me to start a YouTube channel and share my life. And I didn't feel like I was qualified for it because there's a lot of good theologians out there. And He just, you know, He said to me simply, I just want you to share your life. You don't have to, like, you know theology super well. You don't need to know every verse in the Bible. Just be yourself and teach the faith through your example of being a wife and mother.
Well, our Lord and our Lady worked through Saint Therese, who wasn't a real theologian when she first started either, and yet she helped change the world. So congratulations on the great work that you're doing. Real briefly, where can our listeners find you on YouTube and your channel?
Yeah, if you just look up Catholic Mom's Life, then you can find my page, and you can just subscribe there and watch all the videos.
Outstanding. Well, thank you so much. It's been a joy to be with you, Heather. Thanks again for being with us here on Morning Air.
Yeah, thank you. God bless.
God bless you, too. Catholic YouTuber and mom, Heather Johnson, and now it's time for another edition of Glenn's Story Corner.
Our story today is called It Could Happen, from Parables, Etc. In February of 1891, the Star of the East was whale hunting off the Falkland Islands in the South Atlantic. While pursuing a large sperm whale, one of the two boats was capsized by the Leviathan. The hunters went on to kill the whale, but feared two of their men had drowned. James Bartley was one of the missing fishermen. The crew mourned their loss, but also had the tremendous task of preparing this giant sea monster. They worked until midnight, removing blubber from the 80-foot-long, 80-ton fish. The next morning, they hoisted the whale's stomach on deck. To their surprise, they saw faint movements. Monsieur de Parvé, science editor of Journal de Bas, investigated the incidents. He verified that James Bartley was indeed the reason for the movement. When the stomach was cut open, Bartley was found unconscious. He was then bathed in seawater and placed in the captain's quarters for 2 weeks. He was confused and mentally disturbed, yet in 4 weeks he'd fully recovered and was able to recount his experience. For the rest of his life, he carried the scars of a bleached white face, neck, and hands from the whale's gastric acid. Psalm 34:17. When the righteous cry for help, the Lord hears and delivers them out of all their troubles.
Thanks again, Glenn. Coming up next hour on Morning Air, Catholic evangelist Martha Fernandez-Sardina will tell us how our risen Lord shows his love for us as shepherd and guardian of our souls. And Professor Harry Kramer will discuss the fourth virtue, genuine humility. So stay with us. There is much more to come here on Morning Air next hour on this Tuesday edition of the show on Relevant Radio and the Relevant Radio app.